Today is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. It's also the feast day of St. Stephen, so the second oration, speaking of post-communion, you'll find any missals from his feast day on today, September 2nd. Tomorrow is the feast day of St. Pius X, and there will be here, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, the first pontifical high mass of Bishop Joseph Santé. So I'd ask you to make the effort to be here. If you've never seen a pontifical mass before, it is quite astounding, the pomp and ceremonies of Holy Mother the Church that will take place even here in our very own chapel. That takes place tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Also, this Friday is First Friday. There will be 6:30 p.m. confessions, 8 p.m. mass, and an all-night vigil. There will also be mass at school at 11:20. School, by the way, begins on Wednesday. So two more days, children, of your summer vacation today and Monday and Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, there was mass at school at 11:20, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Also, looking ahead towards the rest of the year, the confession schedule will remain on Friday evenings. So confessions will no longer be on Wednesdays. So on Friday and Saturday, there will be confessions. Friday evenings, First Friday confessions actually will begin at 5:30, just because of the number of confessions. So please do be here for as early as you can be on First Friday evenings. We'll begin confessions First Friday at 5:30. The rest of the month, confessions will be on Friday at 6:30 p.m. Then on, of course, Saturday mornings after the Mass. Also, today is Vocation Sunday. I ask you to all of you to remind you about offering your Masses and Holy Communions with our other members throughout, chapel members throughout the country, for an increase of laborers in the vineyard, an increase of laborers and priests to the Immaculate Heart Seminary, and of course, sisters to St. Joseph's Novitiate, the Daughters of Mary. Also, altar boys, we were planning a fishing trip on September 22nd. However, the EPA has decided that the fluke season should be closed as of this Tuesday. So there will be a postponement in the fishing trip. There will be no fishing necessarily on September 22nd. I will give you more details later on, but the fluke season is closed, and therefore we cannot go fishing for fluke. And last year, of course, we did some bottom fishing and were not successful, so we won't do that again this year. I will let you know when there will be a trip planned. Also forthcoming for next year, the new Sunday donation envelopes will be ordered this month, that is for next year. There are a number of people, of course, who do not have envelopes. We'll make sure the same problem doesn't happen this year with a mix-up of the addresses. If you are new to the chapel, there are sign-up sheets, actually registration cards on the tables outside. I'd ask you to please sign up, and also to not only for getting donation envelopes for next year, but also especially for sick calls. If you should happen to need a sick call and need a priest, we would need to have you registered in the church so we can have your phone numbers and your addresses, so that way if the priest needs to come, it is easily and expedient for the priest to look up the address and the phone number for us to come. So please do fill out the registration cards. Also, catechism classes will begin Sunday, September 16th. That is 2 weeks from today. That is Sunday catechism classes for all of those children who are not attending St. Pius V school. Remember, parents, it is your obligation before God to make sure that your children are instructed in the Catholic faith. And you do have the opportunity here to have the Sunday catechism classes. They will begin on September 16th. There are registration forms downstairs at the Guardian Angel Bookstore, so please do stop by and register your children before next Sunday so we know how many children there will be in each class. Also, just a friendly reminder also, I've noticed a number of flyers, a number of things put on the bulletin board downstairs in the breakfast room, and it's the first time I've seen them, is when they're up on the bulletin board or when they are out on the tables to be for people to go by. Nothing should be put on the bulletin board downstairs, and no flyers should be put on the tables in the vestibules, even if it's our own material, unless it is first approved by me. So please do not put anything out. Some people like to put out various holy cards and various items. Do not leave anything on the tables unless first it is approved by me for putting out either on the bulletin board or on those tables. And also I have some very distressing news. There is someone who's trying to close our school. And that someone has been trying through various state agencies, various local agencies, etc., to try to shut us down. And we've had to do a number of phone calls, a number of state agencies, a number of authority figures have come to the school to check us out, so to speak. And it is making quite a nuisance for us. But because of this individual's determination to shut down the school, there has been put on the back of the church at school, the back of the chapel, the firemen were out the other day, and they have put an occupancy number on the chapel. And that is, we can only have 96 people in the chapel at one time, which means, my dear faithful, that if you do come to Mass, you will not be able to get into the chapel. That will be reserved for the students. There will be, however, chairs set up in the hallway for you to attend Mass on those days at chapel. I encourage you to come. Please do come to Mass. But there will be no place in the chapel for you to sit. In fact, our students will not be able to go to Mass every day because of this individual's attack on the school. There are two or three classes that have to sit out of Mass every day on a rotating basis. Someday it will be the first, second, and third grade. Someday it will be the third, fourth, and fifth grade. But unfortunately, because of this person's determination that we should not have our school, our children will not be able to attend Mass. So I would ask you to please keep this intention in your prayers, that the person ceases and desists, and that we will be able to continue in the education of our children, instilling them with Catholic faith, and most especially to have for them the true education for the future, for truly they are our future, that for our grandchildren's sake and great-grandchildren's sake. So do be reminded of that, and please keep this intention in your prayers. The epistle appointed to be read for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are immorality, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, witchcrafts, enmities, contentions, jealousies, anger, quarrels, factions, parties, envies, murders, drunkenness, carousings, and such like. Concerning these I warn you, as I have warned you, that they who do such things will not attain the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, mildness, faith, modesty, continency, chastity. Against such things there is no law. And they who belong to Christ have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. And the Holy Gospel. This is a Gospel taken from St. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 24 through 33. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, what you shall eat, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life a greater thing than the food, and the body than the clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or weep or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you of much more value than they? But which of you, by being anxious about it, can add to his stature one cubit? And as for clothing, why are you anxious? See how the lilies of the field grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory was arrayed as one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more you, O ye of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we put on? For after all these things the heathens seek. For your Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His justice, and all these things shall be given to you. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His justice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, our Lord points out a very important lesson for us today. It's one of the fundamental truths of our religion, and that is seeking first the kingdom of God. Seeking first the kingdom of God because that is the very reason for which we are created. It's the end of our life. It's the purpose of our life. It's the one object, the one aim that our life is to have. For that's why we were created. God made us, He who exists from all eternity, and He made us for one thing. He made us, as we know, to love Him and serve Him in this world and to be happy with Him in the next. God made us for Himself. He could not have made us for any other purpose. He didn't make us to live in this world, to walk among the trees. He didn't create us here and put us in this world so that we could find a job, to put us in this world to find necessarily those companions with whom we find ourselves. All those are good and necessary. Yes, it is true. But that's not the end of our life. That's not the purpose of our life. Our life is given to us that we may choose God. He gave us an immortal soul. He gave our soul the faculties of an understanding, the affections and a free will. And the purpose that God has in view when He created us was that man should use his understanding in knowing God and to use his will to choose God above all things. That's why it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is all." In other words, he says, if we do that, if we fear God, if we follow His law, that's all we have to do. That is sufficient for us to please God and to strive for His justice. If man faithfully complies and conforms his actions to fearing God and keeping His commandments, then he will be supremely happy in this life, no matter what his circumstances are in life. No matter if he is prosperous in life, no matter if he is a pauper in life. If he seeks first the kingdom of God, if he keeps the commandments of God, then it matters not what his circumstances are because he is arriving at the very purpose of his life. But if he neglects the one thing that is necessary, that is fearing God and keeping his commandments, then no matter how prosperous he may be in this world, no matter how naturally happy he may be here in this life, if he does not follow the commandments of God, if he does not strive to please God and strive for his justice, that man is to be considered supremely miserable because he is not using his life for the purpose that it was given to him. The commandments which we are to keep are summed up by our Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, and with all thy strength and all thy mind. And, he says, thy neighbor as thyself. This is the same truth which is presented to us today. There is no part of ourselves, no faculty, no energy of our body or our soul, which does not belong entirely to Almighty God. And to devote them to any other purpose, as though they were created simply for the things of the world, simply created to cling to the things of this life and not used for the honoring and glorifying of God, then they are used to run counter to the very purpose for which God has given them. We do not have an intellect given to us by Almighty God so that we can believe falsehood. We do not have an intellect to believe the errors that are pronounced in the world today. We do not have a free will given to us by Almighty God to choose to do evil. That would be a perversion of the free will. We have an intellect to know God. We have a free will to use to choose Almighty God. We are told that we have one thing to do in this world, and that is to serve God. Now, that doesn't mean that we are simply to cease to occupy ourselves with the things of the world. That would be impossible. St. Paul told us very clearly. He says we are to be in this world and use it as though we used it not. That means we are in this world for the things that will strive, help us to strive to get to heaven. God gave us the plants of the world. He gave us the goods of the world. He gave us all of the created things around us to help us to get to heaven, not to cling to them as though they were the end of our life. That is, as though we would find our ultimate happiness here in the enjoyment of the things of this world, which today, are here today, and tomorrow, they are gone. The pleasures of this life last but an instant, and then they are fleeting. The pleasures of the life to come are never ending. That's why our Lord said, seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, of course, is twofold, the kingdom of heaven and also the kingdom of God on earth, which is the church. And the only means of reaching the kingdom of heaven is by belonging to the kingdom of the church in this world. But it's not enough simply to seek the church, the kingdom of God in this world, unless we also desire His justice. His justice is, that is to say, to be justified, to put in the state of sanctifying grace, to preserve that grace which is in us by arriving and approaching and receiving the sacraments of Holy Mother the Church. There are many who profess to be Catholics. There are many who profess to belong to the Church and who have been made subjects to the kingdom of God in this world. But unhappily, they have no share in her justice. And because they do not approach the sacraments, they receive no benefits of our Lord's redemption. Oh, they've received baptism, and they are members of the church, but they refuse to seek the justice, to be justified, to be sanctified, by receiving the sacraments by which sanctifying grace is increased. We who are in the kingdom of God on earth by our baptism must earnestly seek first and foremost the graces by which Holy Mother the Church has in her power to bestow to our souls, the life-giving graces. And this search is not a vain search, like the worldly who are searching for something in the world. They seek in vain. But if we seek for God's justice, that is, if we seek to be sanctified, if we seek to be increased in our spiritual life by receiving the sacraments, then we will not be disappointed. Our Lord has told us, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Our Lord has told us to seek His justice. And there is no doubt in His power or His will in granting it to us. But we must seek to stay in the state of grace. We must seek the sacraments from Holy Mother, the Church. Who are those who do not seek first the kingdom of God and His justice? They are those who do not pray. They are those who do not approach the sacraments. They are those who, when they are invited to the banquet that our Lord has spread out for them, they begin to make all kinds of excuse that they cannot be here. They are the ones who, although they profess to be Catholics, will not suffer the sacrifice of time or distance to present themselves for Mass and Holy Communion or confession. And at the same time, they would travel 10 times the distance if it were for some temporal or some worldly advantage or some amusement. There are the Catholics' parents who, after they bring their children into the world, become their destroyers because they do not provide for them the good religious instructions. They do not instill in them a love of the faith. In fact, they even show them by their own bad example that the faith, the attendance at Mass, is really not a priority in their lives. They come late to Mass. They scoot in at the very last minute. After Father leaves the sacristy and comes to the altar, then they just squeeze into Mass just in the nick of time, or not in the nick of time, before the epistle, before the offertory. Oh, it's really not important that we get there on time. Besides, what would we do for 10 minutes? We just sit in the pew. They instill in their children a lack of respect just by their actions. They say nothing to their children. But because of their lack of devotion, they instill in their children a disgust for the faith, and it's not a priority in their lives. My dear faithful, no one will see the joys of heaven if they despise the kingdom of God in this world. What are the joys of this life compared to the joys of eternal life? And what are the miseries of this life compared with the miseries of the life of hell? God promised us that if we are faithful to Him, we will be the ones who receive the reward. It has never been known that anyone who has been faithful to God in his spiritual duties, in living the faith and professing to be a Catholic and living as a Catholic, receiving the sacraments faithfully and regularly, it has never been known that God has abandoned them in their time of need, even in their temporal needs. But for those who abandon God in this life, what is God to do? For God will not make us love Him. He created us without us, but He will not save us without our cooperation. He wants us to choose Him above all things. That's why St. John says, "Labor not for the meat that perishes, but for that which endureth unto life everlasting, which the Son of Man will give to you. If we cast all of our cares upon Him, He will be mindful of us and all that we need in this life. He will sustain us. And above all things, before everything else, we must practice our religious duties, and that everything else will be added to us. Seek first the kingdom of God and His justice, that is, the justice of sanctification. And then every temporal advantage will be given to us. Our true reward, the never-ending happiness of heaven, the heavenly bliss, will be attained by us if we do that one thing, the one thing for which we are created." May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.